Hello, Hollow.
Hello, Substantial.
How goes it?
It goes fine.
Now, we've already done one, so we should be smooth and slick by now.
I actually hate technology.
The tech is a real bummer, isn't it, with this?
I think I'm just such a technophobe. Like,
well, yeah. I do find you quite interesting in that regard. We might come to that later on in the conversation. Because I find you are, I don't mean this rudely, but you are quite technophobe.
I am. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I'm literally such a technophobe.
Like, I find it quite interesting that you don't have headphones.
Well, I do have headphones, but they're Bluetooth headphones. So they wouldn't work in this instance. Yeah. I don't have headphones that connect into a laptop or like a device.
Okay, got you. That does make sense.
So I don't know if that means I'm more tech savvy.
Yeah, maybe. I have to say, I've now got Bluetooth headphones. And the other day I was out and I was listening to something and somebody phoned me and I could not figure out how to actually speak to them via the Bluetooth headphones. It was farcical. Yeah.
I feel very similar.
Yeah. I just had to. And then the problem with them is you can't, you have to put them back in the case in order to stop them working. Well, I suppose you could cut the Bluetooth, couldn't you? But basically, yeah, I had to put them back in the case because I had this experience where one night I was voice noting Laura the Lodger and her lovely husband, David. Mm. And I was voice noting the pair of them. And honestly, my voice sounded ridiculous on my WhatsApp voice note. And we realised after a while that it was because I'd had my Bluetooth headphones on. I'd taken them off and left them like on the other side of the room. Not in the case. And so the microphone from that was picking up my voice from very far away. I mean, they were very effective, but also just sounded ridiculous.
What the heck?
That's I know, so it was ridiculous. When I was holding my phone up to my mouth, you know, speaking really clearly into it, and basically the sound was being recorded across the room.
That's so good. Oh my gosh.
Now, speaking of ineptitude, can I just fess up to everybody? I'm really sorry that I just posted the last episode and didn't schedule it.
Oh, right. So I don't think I don't think the listeners know this.
No, that's true. It just feels extra subtle.
guys, it was all planned. It was all planned. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like, yeah. A very, very soft launch, really. A soft relaunch. Because it's really the true fans who found us.
Yeah. We didn't even know we'd launched. It was that soft.
Honestly. It was Felix, wasn't it? Shout out to Felix, your friend. Who messaged you and said.
Yeah, he was like, loving the new podcast episode. And I was like, wait, what? How'd you know about that?
Turned out I had not scheduled it for the correct date. I had scheduled it for the date the week before.
It was great, but, though, because it meant there was less pressure. Just kind of let's see what happens.
Yeah, just softly launched into the world. And I mean, there have been a number of people who've found it. So another shout out goes to Rebecca Shulga, who sent me a 10-minute voice note in response. And this is like correspondence section here. She was letting me know that the Greater Easter House. So remember, I talked about the place I'd gone to get my vaccination as guest, Greater Easter House. And I couldn't remember.
Yeah, the pasta man. What was his name?
The pasta. Yeah, no, it was pasta. That's right. Yeah, and then the omelette man. Enjoy your omelette. So she was saying she used to have to work there sometimes, and it's the Greater Easter House Supporting Hands Community Centre. I mean, it's not the most memorable name.
What would that be like if you were to Greater Easter House? So GEHS.
Gesh.
Yeah, that's not. Nah, that's not it. Yeah, sorry.
I mean, yeah, it's not. So yeah, Gesh. Anyway, shout out to Rebecca who found us, even though she lives in Canada. Sorry, that sounds really weird, as though people who live outside the UK can't find podcasts.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, so anyhow, that was my ineptitude. But it's nice that people found us.
I know.
And maybe they'll,
so nice.
Maybe they'll come back, hopefully.
I know. I'm always a bit, like, surprised still that people would listen to us. Because I'm like, what do we have to talk about that's interesting? But thank you to all the people that try to listen. It's lovely.
Well, I mean, I don't want to sound like the egomaniac in the room, but I have to say, Fiona, see, when I'm editing, I find myself quite absorbed.
actually.
Also, I actually listened tonight because I thought, what did we say we were going to talk about?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So I listened all the way through. I mean, it's good to bump up the listener statistics. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's me.
Sometimes that's it because I'm like, oh, I need to listen back just to see what we've talked about. And then, like, I am contributing to the listening data here.
I know.
But whatever.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Whatever.
What I don't know is whether if you listen multiple times on the same device, it probably doesn't clock it, because I think it probably is to do with the device. But nonetheless, we can all find multiple devices and just listen lots of times. Anyway, that is that. What, my friend? Oh, yeah, we should talk about what we're going to talk about in the main bit, because that's actually why I did go back and listen. So last time we said we were going to talk about the holosubstantial intergenerational kind of theme. We're going to revisit that. But we are looking for listener suggestions for future.
Yeah. We've already had a couple come through. So we're going to have a little thing. We'll not tell people what they are, but we've had a couple of suggestions come through. Ooh. So
have you told me what they are? Have you told me about them?
I feel like you've discussed it.
We can have the conversation later. We can talk about
that. Okay, anyway. But we're really, really keen to have some more people give us ideas of what they want us to revisit. That's kind of what we were talking about in the first episode of this season, is that we want to come back to things that maybe feel like we talked about quite a long time ago, where actually things might be slightly different now, given the world has like changed in the past couple of years. So if anyone has any thoughts or ideas, please just reach out to us, either if you know us, send us a message, but also if you follow us on any of our socials, just like get in touch with us and we will hopefully be able to have a little think and ponder on everyone's thoughts.
That's good. That's a good shout. And today we're going to talk about generations and the age gap thing. But before we do that, Fiona, what has caught your eye?
So, yes, what's caught my eye this week is the film All of Us Strangers. And it's the one with Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. So I went to see it last night and it is brilliant. It is so good. I was quite confused about the premise of the film. I was at the end, I was like, what just happened? But it's just very beautifully filmed. And the basic premise, this doesn't give anything away, is that Andrew Scott's character, he is sort of kind of trying to he's a writer and he's trying to write about his parents who died when he was little. And the film kind of blurs the present and the past and you're kind of not really sure what was reality at certain points. And it's just like really nicely done. And what I like about it is there is not much that happens. I quite like a film that's quite slow in that sense. Yeah. And I went to see it at the cinema and I think I quite like a cinema film like that, where you're just there and it's not, you're kind of absorbed for a couple of hours, but it's not like intense stimulation. It's like, here we go. And the soundtrack was amazing. It was lots of nice, like the filming and cinematography was really lovely. Lots of like really nice lighting. And I just thought Andrew Scott as an actor is just so good. Like, he's just so interesting.
I don't think he can do any wrong.
Literally,
as an actor.
Everything I've ever seen him do.
That's high praise to see it. Do you know what I think it is, though? I think it's because he commits so much.
He does. It's so true. Yep.
He makes really bold choices and he commits.
He just always inhabits the character he's playing, like really to the point where you believe that he believes that it's his character, if that makes sense. And he's just a very, like, I was thinking about it, he's kind of paradoxically some very contained as an actor, but somehow can play characters that are like not contained. So he kind of somehow manages to do both at the same time. Like, he's just very particular.
So what is that? Is that about his level of control?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it his control as a performer?
I think so,
That's really interesting, isn't it?
And then Paul Mescal, who we love, was in it, the film as well. And he was really interesting because he didn't have an Irish accent, which is his natural accent. He had like a northern accent. And it was very bizarre. I kept being like, what? Because Andrew Scott's character does have an Irish accent. The whole thing was a bit bizarre in terms of choices around
that. But of course he's Irish, isn't
he? Both of them Irish. I was like, I'm just so confused. But they basically play like a couple. So they kind of get to that. Again, that's not a spoiler. They get together in the film. And really interesting kind of seeing that kind of relationship as well. So, yeah, it isn't one to sort of like watch lightly. It's quite sad and a little bit dark, but it was very beautiful and I cried quite a lot because it was just so moving.
Yeah,
I loved it. So I would highly recommend to everyone.
That sounds really good. I was thinking when you were talking about the cinema, you know, liking that kind of film in the cinema, I wonder if it's also, I find if it's a slow film and I'm watching it at home, there's too many possibilities of distraction. Yeah. So I start looking at my phone, I start trying to see who the actors, what else the actors have been in and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
Whereas in the cinema, if you're a proper etiquette observing cinema goer, you're not going to do that. So you do have the absorbed experience.
I think that's it, exactly that. I think slower cinema is lovely, but I find it really hard to enjoy in a place where there's distractions. And even in the cinema I went to last night, I was very aware of like people rustling. So even if they're not on a phone, I think it's because the film itself was quite slow and quite thoughtful and was actually at points quite quiet. You just become really aware in a cinema of like people making noise and rustling and moving. And you're like, oh my goodness, stop it. So that was also quite interesting. So I would highly recommend going to see it if everyone has the time and opportunity. It's great.
That sounds really good. What I would like to do, and if I get around to doing it, then I'll maybe talk about it in future, is I would like to go and see Andrew Scott in Vanya.
He's doing
a one-man Vanya. So Chekhov, but he's doing it, I think it's with the Young Vic or the Old Vic?
Can't remember,
One of the Vics. And it's a National Theatre live event. So I'm going to, I think, and it's out at the end of February, so I'm going to go to the cinema. You know, have we talked about this on here before, that I've taken to going to the cinema to watch National Theatre stuff? I love it.
I
particularly love it because I go to quite random places.
Do you? Where do you go?
Well, they're often on in random places. So here's the thing. You can go to places like the Everyman or the GFT, Glasgow Film Theatre. And I mean, I've not been to National Theatre in either of those places, but I would imagine these places are packed with middle-class theatre goers.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go to the Showcase at Coatbridge or the, what's the one in Hamilton? What was it? I was going to say UCI. You don't get UCI cinemas anymore. It's another chain cinema. Quite often you're maybe one of about four people in the cinema. It's super.
That's so good.
No rustling or distractions.
That's so good.
But yeah, he's got a one man Vanya, so basically he plays all the characters and just the trailers look so good. So kind of hoping to see that. Also, Dear England, have you seen Dear England?
Dear England is so good. Would 10 out of 10 recommend?
It's so good. It's on general release, like National Theatre.
So good
thing as well.
Get yourself there. It's so good.
Love it. Love it.
But anyway, what's caught your eye this week?
Well, having just been a bit highbrow in that chat, can I just say, I'm going lowbrow again. Last time I did The Traitors, it's the winter months. I spend a lot of time sitting in my house. And I have to go for this because I have been recommending it in person pretty much to everybody I meet. So I've been watching The Agency Unfiltered.
Okay.
Now, you find that on iPlayer. And it is, I'm assuming you can get it beyond Scotland, but it's a Scottish documentary. So I want to paint the picture of it. If you imagine something like Made in Chelsea. Now, you know, no shame. I used to watch Made in Chelsea, quite like the sort of glamorous London locations and, you know, the kind of glamour of it. And what you get in these reality TVs programs is you will often, when they've got these sort of false setup things, you'll get a big caption that tells you where they are. So if you're Made in Chelsea, you know, King's Road or Hyde Park or whatever. Well, The Agency Unfiltered follows the story of an influencer agency based in Uddingston.
Okay.
That's right. Not the King's Road, Uddingston. So when you're at the office, then it comes up with this big title that says Uddingston. And my favourite bit is when at one point they go to somebody's house and it comes up saying, Airdrie. And it's the story. It's a documentary following, you know, a real life thing, following this agency and the various clients that they have. And it follows them around various parts of Glasgow, follows little stories. Most of them are from a modelling background. Mm. They are obsessed with finding content.
Mm.
So everything, they organise quite a lot of events and turn up at them. What I find quite fascinating about that is there weren't that many people at the events, but it looked, when you saw it, you know, on the content, on their platforms, it looked like it was the most exciting, best event.
Interesting. Okay.
I find that really, yeah, I feel I learned quite a lot actually about social media. So I kind of started off, if I'm totally honest, I started off being a bit mocking of the whole thing, thinking, ha, 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 reality TV and Airdrie, ha, ha, ha. And actually, Fiona, I'm going to be heart on sleeve here. I actually really warmed towards some of the characters and their stories. And they were very open about some of their struggles. The two women who run the agency, one of them is struggling with postnatal anxiety. So she finds it really hard to leave her baby. I mean, it does go on quite a lot about that. But nonetheless, you feel very sympathetic. Mm. And then the other woman who runs the agency is dealing with endometriosis.
Okay.
Or certainly some, yeah, I think it's endometriosis. And so you follow her journey with all of that. So you think, oh, gosh, these people have been quite open about their things. Mm. My favourite character, though, is Megan, who, well, I looked her up on Instagram. She's got an enormous following. I mean, she's highly, highly successful. Probably could buy and sell you and me. Megan, the main storyline, this is series two of the thing. The main storyline for her was, A, her podcast.
Love it.
So she decides to start a podcast called Roller Coasting.
Okay.
And she decides to do a live event and she sells out in 10 minutes.
Wow.
And she runs this big live event. And as a funny little neat circle to this, remember when you were staying with me the other week and we went, when was it then? Anyway, at some point I was on the underground in Glasgow and I saw adverts for her next live podcasting event, which I think also sold out really quickly. But the thing about Megan that I really liked is she, throughout the series, she lives at home with her mum and dad somewhere on the south side. And she's bought a flat. She's bought a house. This is, you know, the big thing is moving out. And whilst she has this, you know, glamorous lifestyle, etc., really, she's like every, no offence to anybody in this situation, but she's like every girl I've ever met from the south side of Glasgow. Moving out is a big deal.
Yep.
And there's a lot of chat about, oh, mum and dad, you have just been the best, mum and dad, I could ever have known. You've looked after me so well and I'm so sad, I'm not going to be here anymore. And then you discover, of course, she's moving about a mile away. And in that regard, she did remind me of a lot of people I know. But yeah, really drawn to the characters. I've actually learned some stuff about the whole influencing world. We can all learn some things about how we post. And it also made me laugh.
Oh my gosh.
And also you recognise places. I don't really understand how I've managed to not see them filming it, really, because there's a lot of Glasgow City Centre.
I think
it was one where it was the East End and I got all excited, but it was further out. It was Bayliston.
Oh, that's sad. I was hoping it'd be Denison. Come on.
I know.
Well, what I was going to say when you were first describing this show to me just there, I have to say, I thought it was a mockumentary because it sounds that like feel. That vibe. And then you're like, oh, it's a documentary of real people. And I was like, wait, what? Sorry, what now?
That's the thing. That's the thing you wrestle with for the first couple of episodes. You're thinking, this feels like a mockumentary because these people are ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know anybody like this. Okay. I recommended it to my friend Jen and she messaged saying, these people all just look the same. I was like, it's because they've all had the same work done, Jen. So it feels like a mockumentary, but actually, yeah, it's real.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Honestly, viewing figures are going to be so up because I've been recommending it to everybody.
Do you want to be part of the agency? Is that what you're angling for?
I mean, I would actually love that. I feel I wouldn't quite fit in though, in terms of age profile, things that I actually care about. Because
I mean,
I just couldn't care enough about some of these things.
That's fair. That's fair.
To take it seriously.
Yeah, that's so good. Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, that could be their comedy client.
Yeah.
So that's what's caught my eye. And I promise you, hand on heart, next time I will do something that's quite highbrow.
I don't think you need to worry too much about that. I don't think people are, I think people want to listen to the unfiltered version of what we're listening to engaging with. So
that's true.
That's okay. Like,
I'm not, nobody's judging. You know? That's true. Well, they may be judging, but maybe quite
I am not judging.
So that's okay.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm not judging. I find this quite funny. It's very off-brand.
It's all about content. You see, I learned something. It's all about creating the content.
Oh, my God.
Get the content, girls. Get the content. Very, very funny. Well, so that is what's caught my eye. We're going to have to think quite hard about what we're going to title this episode.
I know.
Because I realise I put up substantial but hollow or something on the last one, yeah, which I think was what this was going to be.
Right.
Maybe just we'll call it intergenerational or something.
We'll figure something out.
We'll get something.
Well, yeah. It's fine. Yeah. I feel like intergenerational is the general theme of this
Yes, that's true.
One.
That's right.
So,
And I think we're onto something with it in having discussions about it.
I think so. I think it's quite unusual for, in my experience, it is quite unusual for two people to be friends, like across generations now. And I think two people to be friends who also then talk about like themes and topics that are quite relevant to both.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And two people who are not related, because you do get these kind of mother-daughter ones, don't you?
Yeah.
And multiple podcasts that are middle-aged white men.
I mean, it's just a vibe, isn't it? We are middle-class white women, but...
Yeah, it's true. It's, but we're different ages.
They're different ages. So there you go. We buck the trend.
No, it's interesting, isn't it? I wonder why... Mm. I wonder... Yes. I suppose I'm going to deep dive into an exploration of our friendship.
Because I
wonder if our friendship has changed over the time we've known each other. I think it probably has.
I was thinking about this the other day because I was like, oh, when I came to stay with you a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. we were hanging out and I was like, I was like, have we both like changed in terms of our friendship? Probably, because we have been friends for quite a long time now. So surely it has changed. But I don't know what it will have changed into.
Yeah, I know. But we will both have changed as people as well in that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what's quite hard to unpick, isn't it? It's how much is just because as human beings you change and how much is because your relationship lengthens, etc.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
I think there's also something in, I'm currently slightly obsessed with this. I'm not going to go off on one about it, but power dynamic influences relationship, I think. So when I first knew you, you were, actually, do you know how I first heard of you? It was Adrienne Ferguson said, this great girl, Fiona Hollow, and she's very dramatic. And it'd be really great if she came and did some stuff. And you came to camp, I think, and then you came and did that internship. So the dynamic was different to what it is now. I think it's much more...
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It's still not peer, is it? But it's there's more of an equality.
No, it's so true. I think, like, people often ask how we're friends, you and I, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose I don't really think of it necessarily as the kind of power dynamic, but there was one when we first became friends because you were like... In that instance, you were like the
bossy,
the boss. You were the boss. Well, no, not bossy, the boss.
Yeah.
Very different.
The boss. Yeah, that's right. That's true.
You were
true.
Like, you were literally like my boss when I was doing an internship with you. And, you know, you were the leader of the camp that I was helping at. Even though I was leader, you were in charge of the camp. So it was a power dynamic. But then I think... It shifted. I think it did shift actually when we were doing the internship, because even though you were the boss, I remember we had lots of like, just lots of chats. I remember we kept driving to Stirling all the time for like various things.
Can I just say, I think we maybe only went twice, but yeah.
Okay, it feels like we went every day.
Stirling felt significant to me. I know.
It did. I don't know why. But we had lots of conversations in the car, I remember. And we would talk about a lot of things that felt somewhat relevant to both of us. And I felt as though the conversation started shifting to feeling more like equal, even yeah. though I was, I don't know how old I was, 20 maybe. And it was quite unusual. Yeah, I was like, I was finding it really interesting experiencing that with someone who was older than me. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm having quite a like meaningful conversation. This is good.
Yes. Whereas I think I have to say though, I think my perspective on you has always been that you do have a maturity. You know, you've got a kind of, don't take this the wrong way, but an age beyond your years. Mm. So, and maybe the common denominator of the kind of theatre creativity stuff yeah. helped with that. But I always felt when I was having conversations, say, about theatrical productions or how we were going to stage something, or we worked together on the Fringe show, didn't we? It felt quite an equal environment. Mm. Maybe it didn't to you, because maybe I was making you go up and down the lift with lots of props. I don't know. But.
Oh, I do remember that.
I feel as though that's, you know.
I forgot about that. Way. That wheelbarrow.
I used to make people go in tidy costumes a lot. Yeah, with the wheelbarrow, that's right.
No, I think that is true. It was, yeah, I think there was an equality because we were also focused on something together that we both enjoyed. I think that is where friendship came from. I think if I was just to encounter someone who was like, you know, 24 years older than me now, and I didn't work with them on something specific or focus and we weren't working together on something, I think it would be quite hard to forge a friendship just like out of the blue. I don't know.
It's actually really interesting to think about. I sometimes wonder, I was talking to somebody today actually about the generational thing in a different context, and I'm so hesitant about talking about this. One of the things I'm kind of aware of is there are some people who are a bit younger than me, quite a bit younger than me, who I think perceive me as being about the same age. And I honestly don't think that is just me being vain. I really think, and to the point where it slightly annoys me, because I think you're not actually my peer.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's on me, because I present as being very friendly and blind.
Youthful.
Enemy, like my aged bitterness that sits, my rancor that sits inside. You know, so maybe I set that up for myself by... trying not to exert power. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think there is something in that, because I think we've definitely talked about that before, of you sometimes feeling as though people do see you as like the same age, and not always in a bad way, just that you notice it.
No,
and
sometimes it's great.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Sometimes you're like, I love this. But I think you are someone who's like quite up for chatting to people who aren't the same age and stage and background. So I think that also does mean that you're more likely to forge friendships with people who are different to you. And I think it means you're just a bit more relatable to people. And I think that is probably what most people want in a friendship, sadly, is relatability. Yeah. Like they want someone they can relate to. Other things as well, but if we're thinking across generations, you know, friends I have that are also slightly older than me are people I can relate to, and people I can like have good conversation with. Where I feel like it's quite balanced. Generally.
Yes, I think that's right, isn't it? And I think as the person who's older in the friendship, I think it's helpful to be aware of these kind of dynamics, because I think the danger of, I told you I wasn't going to go off on this and I am actually going off on it, I think the danger of appearing youthful is you can actually subliminally exert influence. You can exert influence for good, of course you can. You can mentor people and help them and so on, but I think you can also use it in a more nefarious way actually. Anyway, that's enough of my counselling session. Obsession with power dynamics. Do you think you have changed significantly in the time that I've known you? Oh, or and how do you think you've changed?
Oh, that's a very intense question. Oh my gosh, I wasn't planning for that.
I know, it's not really a topic, is it?
I know. Oh no, 100. Well, yeah, I've absolutely, like, it would be foolish to say I've not changed, because obviously I have.
Yeah.
I think I'm not entirely sure in what ways I have changed, but I know I have. Mm-hmm. I think there's some things you can be consciously aware of, I think, when you get a bit older and the changes. And I think there's some things you're not consciously aware of that other people see. So I think I'm consciously aware of, like, being, I am more self-aware as a person.
Yeah.
Than I used to be.
Yeah.
I'm more consciously aware of the fact that I'm a bit more comfortable in my own skin and
mm-hmm.
a bit more like, or a bit less fussed about what people think of me as much. That's still something I'm working on, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you'd say about that of me.
Exactly. It does make sense. I would say, I think you're more focused, and I don't just mean about work or anything. I think in terms of, I suspect what's happened is your values, which were always quite, you know, clear, have sort of continued to shape who you are, so that you are quite clear about who you are and comfortable in your own skin around that, I think.
That's interesting.
Would be my observation, I think.
That's quite a nice observation. Thank you very much. I'll take that.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And actually, I was thinking about it because I was thinking about the fact that we've also shared an office as an equal thing, you know. So it wasn't that you were working with Foolproof. You were you had a desk in the office, and I always thought you were very focused about work.
Yeah,
as in you were very boundaried about your time and so on, in a way that I think I wasn't. I'm probably a bit better now than I used to be. Mm-hmm. But I was speaking to you recently about your current work situation. Mm. You know, I feel like you've got some of those things in place. Really well, you've kind of, you know, put good foundations in with that.
Thank
Would you say
you
that
so
you were
much.
Typical of your generation?
Oh no, I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of all my peers. I don't know.
What are you? Are you a millennial?
I'm a millennial, so yeah, I'm the cutoff for millennials. Literally, my birth year is the cutoff.
What, 94?
95.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you know that there are now three generations after you.
It's really stressing me out. I don't understand why there's so many all of a sudden. I'm like, where are you all coming from?
Well, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? So Gen Z. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of 95 through to 2009. So they're the kind of, they're literally the millennial babies, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then apparently Alpha is 2010 to 2024. And then Generation Beta.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I don't know how they decide when these divisions are going to come. It's going to come at 2025. And it'll run through to 2039, apparently.
What?
So you're very much now the middle.
Oh, what?
Sorry.
I feel young. I don't understand. Why am I old?
And the millennials get a bit of a bad deal, don't they? They get bad press, I think.
I think they do get bad press, but then I also think Gen Z now get bad press, so it's just a matter of time, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. I know. I mean, same with Gen X. They just always feel annoyed because they don't get mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're very distinct.
True. It's true. It's true. It's true.
Torval and Dean generation. That's like a contemporary joke for tonight, because it's 40 years since Torval and Dean, skaters, Fiona, won
the
gold medal at the Sarajevo Olympics. They got a full set of sixes dancing to Ravel's Bolero.
Oh, wow.
It was iconic. 40 years ago. I was a teenager.
That does sound iconic.
That sounds iconic and a long time ago.
Sorry,
I interrupted you there.
Well, I don't know. I think I wouldn't say I'm typical of my generation. I also, because I'm the youngest of millennials, so I think it's quite different. I think, I don't think I'm very typical of, like, I don't know. I think it depends on what we mean by typical, right? Because I think we can exist in, like, echo chambers sometimes. So I sometimes think quite a lot of my friends I am quite similar to. So I'm like, well, maybe I am just typical. But then actually, then I meet people who aren't like me. And I'm like, oh, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think it just varies a lot. I think probably what you say, though, about, like, focus and values, I think is a bit more typical of my branch of the millennial generation, if that makes sense.
No, that does. Yeah, because it's very broad brushstrokes, these titles, aren't they? Yeah, but I think that's right. And we talked about, it's interesting this conversation actually, because it's taken us back to a few other things we've talked about before. But when we discussed money, for example, I think I remember saying that I think your generation is so much better at sorting out its money. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that none of you are able to buy houses. I mean, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, budgeting and all that kind of thing, I do think.
That's interesting. I mean, I suppose to flip that, the question back to you, I suppose, how do you think you've changed in the time that I've known you?
Yeah. Well, I think it's hard to separate this out from the pandemic, because I think the pandemic has been quite a seismic shift for me. But I also think it's because of the age I was when I hit the when the pandemic struck. So I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff is written about the sort of second half of life and you know, that kind of thing where you feel you've got less to prove. I definitely feel that. I feel more comfortable in my own skin than I did when I was in my 40s, I think, in my early 40s. I think some of that is maybe menopause as well. Comes into play. You become a bit less inhibited. Become sort of like a crazy old lady. I shouldn't say that actually, because it's not a crazy old lady. It's just a different stage of life.
yes, exactly.
But you do become more sort of like, oh, stuff. I'm just going to say it. But I think I think I've got less to prove. But nonetheless, and this is maybe a bit me rather than my generation, I think I'm still quite ambitious. But that's maybe a bit me and my own personal character flaw. So cool, full confession time. I used to get quite jealous of other people's success. And I still can get that, but I'm definitely much less that way than I used to be.
That's good, yeah.
To the point where I'm kind of like, well, do you know what, it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually it's good if somebody else succeeds.
Yeah. That's interesting that you're kind of...
But I would say it took me to 50 to get to that point.
Yeah. But do you not think also the part of that's awareness? So being more aware of how you're experiencing the world around you and your response to it. So I think sometimes we're just not aware of that we're even experiencing those emotions and feelings and I think also being able to then look at it without judgment as well. I think that's also a key part of like getting older is not judging your own emotions, because that's also like not a nice thing to do to yourself.
And it's the old sort of cliche, isn't it? Of you did what you did in the circumstances you were in. So you know, the hindsight thing can be a bit obstructive in all of that. But I think I mean the pandemic thing comes in as well, though. So I think for me there was something about it closed a whole lot of stuff down, which meant that I then pivoted, remember that word?
Yeah.
Into other things. And actually I think it slowed me down. So it did make me able to be a bit more self-examining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than I previously had been. Because I think I'd previously lived my life pretty much from my 20s onwards. I had lived my life at full pelt.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was very true. I think that was something I noticed in you, like that you actually in some ways, like the pandemic was awful for lots of people and lots of reasons, but in some ways you did thrive in some parts of it. Like I remember you just really, I felt like you really enjoyed the slower pace, that you really thrived. You had more energy for things in some ways.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, different, something to react to, but also I can do it in a way that's like at my own pace, which I know is obviously not everyone's experience of that time. But
no, and that's why it's so difficult often to talk about all this stuff, isn't it? Because you have to caveat it with, you know, some people's experience was so awful. You know, and mine wasn't, you know, all roses and hearts and flowers all the time. But yeah, I think you're right. I think like many people, I think it did give me pause to, literally gave me pause actually to recalibrate a bit.
I think we, you know, also during that time, actually in the first lockdown, we were in close quarters in the fact that we lived in the same area, so I also think our friendship like did shapeshift a bit during that time. And
yes, yes,
you know, we'd actually see each other like quite a lot. Yes. I remember we'd see each other almost every day because you'd just like go for a walk and go someone's past someone's house.
I know. Do you remember that time we both happened to be cycling in Glasgow Green at the same time?
Oh my gosh, stop it. Yes, I do. I literally just remember when that you weren't there. Allowed yes.
to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? And yeah. there was a police van, so we had to kind of move on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. I also remember that you used to have conversations with people. You used to have phone conversations with people walking 5 metres away from them or something.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I did that. Yep.
You tell me that.
Yep. Whip, whoop, whoop, whoop.
It was a crazy time.
It was a crazy time, yeah. It was weird. Yeah. I forgot about that as well.
I know. Weird, yeah. isn't it? Do you have hope for future generations, do you think? Sorry, I'm coming in with the big questions tonight.
This, honestly, this is like, wow, hefty questions.
Sorry.
No, it's quite fun, actually. I have to say, I kind of relish a big question. And do I have hopes? What do I have? I think I don't know if I do at the moment. It's not that I don't have hopes. I think I still feel like I am young enough to be part of the generation that people have hopes for. So I don't feel as I still feel, sometimes I do feel a bit old when I'm like next to someone who understands how to use like TikTok
headphones.
Or whatever. headphones. Exactly. Feel so old. But I think I still feel as though I'm quite attached to, in some ways, my youthfulness. Not that I'm like, I'm so young, but I don't, being only 28, I'm still, in the eyes of the world, I am actually still a very young person. So I find it quite hard to answer that question. I suppose if I was to apply it to myself, what are my hopes for like myself, if I was to include myself in that and the generation, I think a lot of it would relate to like paying more attention to like the world around us and what it's what we're doing to it and what it does to us. So that being like how we're impacting the environment, I think that I'm really passionate about that. But then I'm also would love, have a hope for our generation that we would pay more attention to what we're putting in our brains and how our brains are developing, like the short-term memory, you know, not short-term memory, like the attention span is just so difficult these days. And my hope is that we'll pay more attention to that in some way.
I
don't know if that's a helpful thing to have said. I hope so.
It's really interesting. I think as well, I think there are troubled times ahead. I don't want to be the voice of doom and gloom, but I think the global context is pretty depressing.
Yeah.
So I think there will be tough times ahead for generations that are young now and old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say your hope is for your generation then?
I feel like, well, I'm very much aware that I'm part of that in-between generation at the moment. So a lot of us are dealing with elderly parents and thinking about care and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, I don't have children, but, you know, lots of people in my age group, they're also dealing with having teenagers and all of that. So it's the whole kind of squeeze middle thing. So there's a wee bit of me that thinks, I think we just need to survive this season, if you like. But I think my hope would be that we would age well and we would be prepared to listen better maybe than an older generation has to younger generations, and that we would also still be able to contribute because there's still a lot of wisdom, but we wouldn't ruin that by trying to enforce what we think is right. I think being curious and being open I mean, you know, I think that applies to a whole lot of things, because I think it applies to your physicality as well, you know, just being open to looking after our bodies and living well, not in the sense of in a greedy way, but living in a way that's generous and that is thoughtful, I think. Gosh, I need to listen back to this and write it down.
No, write that down. Put it in a, you know, one of those like boxes Instagram that you then come back to in like 10 years or something.
Yes, I don't do that. I put that on social media.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what most people do now.
I'm very shallow that way. I think, well, that's a good quote. I'll use it for thought for the day.
Yeah. Write that down. Yeah.
Write it down fast.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anything else we want to say on generational living? Best piece of fashion in your generation?
Oh, God. Like, oh, wow. The Uniqlo bag.
Oh! What, like an over-the-body?
Yeah. Thing. It's the best thing ever.
Nice.
The Uniqlo bag is so good. So good. Mm-hmm. It's just the best. Nice. Yeah.
It's very good.
It's just so practical.
It's good.
But stylish.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. What would you say? Do you have a fashion thing you like?
I would enjoy a comfortable boot. A comfortable boot. So I think my mother, I mean, this is maybe more about my own family, but my mother would very much enjoy a high heel. I can't be bothered with a high heel. I mean, occasionally.
Okay, yeah.
But it's too much effort. I enjoy a comfortable boot. And I'll tell you what I like these days, Fiona. I like a dress with pockets.
Oh, we love a dress with pockets.
A capacious dress with pockets and a brightly coloured accessory.
You do like that. That's very nice. That's so true.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true of my generation, but yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I can visualise it right now, actually, what you're talking about.
Although today I was wearing a beanie, actually, because I was recording a poem wearing a beanie.
Oh, I saw that on Instagram. I was like, what is going on here?
Brilliant. I decided to, you know, put some costume on.
Oh my goodness. So good. So good.
Mix it up a bit. Oh dear. Well, that's been really interesting. And I hope that our friendship continues as we age.
Me gracefully. Too. I hope so.
Oh, that's good.
I really hope so. I think it will. So I think that's fine.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
There's no suggestion it won't.
No. Well, actually, now is maybe the time not to tell you that. I don't want to be a friend anymore. You're not my friend anymore.
Oh my gosh.
No. Funny. Well, anyway, that has been that. If you don't want any more of this maudlin stuff, then you need to contact us, really, and tell us what you do want us to talk about.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And we will line up a few things. But that's been very interesting. Now, it's time for the tidbit.
I totally spaced that we called it that.
I had to go back and listen again. I couldn't remember what it was called. What have we called that end section? Oh yes, the tidbit. But yes, but tidbit, incidentally, and titbit, they mean the same thing.
Okay. Oh.
But I, for my purposes, I'm enjoying tidbit.
Yeah, I think I don't have a preference either way, so I'm happy to go with tidbit. Let's go for it. Let's do it.
No, that's good. That's good. Have you got a tidbit this week?
Oh my gosh. I suppose I love making cards, like birthday cards, like sending people cards. It's one of my favourite things to do. I think buying cards is very expensive. So what I've been doing semi-recently is not basically like making cards, but when I say making cards, I'm not like a particularly like beautiful crafty person. I just like get a bit of card, draw something on it, and I'll just go on to like YouTube or something or Google just to like kind of get an image or trace it, and then write in, the main thing is the note inside is what counts. So that's my tidbit, is that you don't need to spend like £4 on a card that someone will receive. Like, it's more about what the message inside sometimes than the card itself. So I made someone a card and it just had a hangman on it. So they had to guess what the word was. And that's literally their card.
I love that.
But it was great.
Love that.
It was great.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. So that's my
That does somewhat lift the pressure off the recipient.
I know,
as
it
well.
Does.
Sometimes when you get a fancy card, you think, oh, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
When it's once you've had it out for a while, because you can't leave it up forever.
Yeah.
So a card like that, you know, you would maybe use as a bookmark or something.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is, it's kind of doesn't cost much, but it's quite a nice gift to receive. Like, lovely. So, yeah. What's your tidbit? Do you have one?
Doesn't cost much except the postage. Postage is expensive. Well, I actually had two, so let me just choose one. Yeah, I'm going to talk about noticing habit. Mm-hmm. So I am enjoying going to an evening class on a Monday night at the moment, and it is a 10-week Alexander Technique course. So I did Alexander Technique when I was in London, and then I went to somebody in Edinburgh for a wee while, and then I stopped doing it because it was quite expensive. But I've signed up to do a course at the Conservatoire. So Alexander Technique is all about your head, neck, spine relationship and how your thoughts, how you build habit and then how you undo habit without forcing change. So you use your thoughts to change how you think. And this week, I mean, it sounds so funny when I talk about it, but this week we spent 2 hours, it's the 2 hour lesson, basically practicing standing up out of a chair and sitting back down.
I love that.
And observing one another do that. Yeah, I knew you'd love it. And watching what happens. And one of the things that the group observed about me, which I was completely unaware of, was that when I stand up out of a chair, I'm quite good at using my hips for that, and I'm quite good at leading with the head. But as soon as I'm upright, I then jerk my head back so that my neck contracts, which is not good, obviously, because your neck's supposed to be free and your head's supposed to be free. And I reckon some of it is probably to do with my height, because I'm quite wee in height. So I think I, you know, jerk my head back so that I can see and so that I can be seen. And I recognise, actually, this is relevant, that I do it because I'm speaking to microphones quite a lot of the time. So I'll maybe jerk my head back and articulate towards the microphone. So I am this week being very noticing of my habits around my neck when I'm standing up and sitting down. I'm just allowing myself pause. So the whole thing about Alexander is you don't try and force the change. Yeah. But before you make the move, you think about it, you give yourself a moment of pause, and then you use the right habit. And I think that's quite good
for
life.
I think that's quite good. That is good, yeah.
You know, if we're in habits that we think, oh, I don't want to be in that habit anymore, actually, rather than undo the bad habit, work towards what the good habit could be.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's great. That's a great tidbit.
Thanks. A lot of musicians and actors use it because it's good for releasing tension.
Yeah, I love
that. Or enabling you to hold tension in a way.
I love the sound of it, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. That's very good. It's very good. And also, I just like going into the Conservatoire because it makes me feel like a proper performer.
Yes.
Sad times, but, you know, you got to take it when you get it.
So good. So good.
Well, that is it. We've reached the bitter end.
The bitter.
The sweet end.
The sweet and bitter. Both at the same time.
Yeah,
sweet and sour.
True.
It's been lovely chatting to you today. I've had a lovely chat.
It's been super.
It's been great.
Yeah.
Nice reflections. I think, yeah, keep posted for what the next episode will be about. We'll keep that up our sleeves for now. But I'm enjoying having a little chin wag. It's great to be back doing podcast vibes together.
Yeah, it's good. It's all good. And this has been
Hollow
and Substantial.
Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah.